Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the Krabby Club. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy's crabby. I don't know why. You have no right to be crabby. I'm the one who has the right to be a little bit sour in here. Oh, yes, I do. Not you, Pally Boy. But hey, don't you worry. We will get you a membership into the Krabby Club because I'm going to read a list to you that I suspect it might be a little bit like giving you a paper cut and then pouring lemon juice on it. It is not going to be fun, but it's needed. Might make you crabby. And frankly, you'll have as much right to be crabby as I do. Not Jimmy. What are you crabby about today?
Yeah, I'm not crabby.
You said you're crabby.
I was trying to empathize with you.
So you're a lying peaceful person. So you got Shalom.
Uh-huh.
You're just a deceiver. Okay.
Okay.
I got it. Do I realize that what I'm about to say sounds utterly ridiculous? Yes. Has that ever stopped us? No, it has not. It was the most onerous chore. I just find it so hard. And I know it's like Friel. It's not like you're out riding a horse for 14 hours a day, checking the fences. You're not lifting cinder blocks. I know it. Nevertheless, I had to read 4 pages of script that I actually wrote for Greg Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. And it made me sour because every word had to be exactly right. Otherwise, it was a redo. And for somebody with ADHD, ironically, with ADHD, but what we formerly used to know as AIYP, ants in your pants, it was not an easy chore. I'm done complaining. Welcome to the Krabby Club. You ready? What are you sniggering about in there?
I'm just listening to you.
And you're mocking with guffaws underneath. You know, you could turn your microphone off.
I'll do that.
All righty then. Pharisees, they may or may not have been crabby, but wow, they were U-G-L-Y hideous. And I say that not talking about their outward presentation, but their hearts, their ugliness that was stirring inside of them. And it was exposed by the heart surgery performed by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 23. This was the sermon this Sunday and the Sunday before at Alpharetta Bible Church. And we did some heart surgery on ourselves. And I would like to invite you, my dear conservative Bible-thumping wingnut friend, to take this self-examination. It might make you crabby. It might make you repent. Because if there is anybody alive today that most closely parallels the Pharisees, it's we. If we love the Bible, we love morality, we love sanctification, we love theology, we love righteousness. Guess what? So did the Pharisees. Now, they had totally biffed it in pretty much every regard. But psychographically, they were like us. They loved those things. And we do too. And that means if we simply study the Pharisees and look at how horrible their hearts were, now there's a couple of problems. Number one, it's not going to benefit us much. Second, we'll actually become like them. Psalm 135, 136, it's in the Psalms, probably written by David, talks about these idols that don't have eyes, they can't see, they don't have ears, they can't hear. In other words, they're idols. And then the line, and those who worship them become like them. In other words, you become what you stare at, which is why 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, stare at Jesus with unveiled face, and what'll happen? You'll become like him, transform from one level of glory unto another. You become what you study. So if we merely study the hideous-looking Pharisees, and by the way, I do not mean their physical outward appearance. I'm talking about their heart. If we just look at that, what's going to happen to us? We're going to become a Pharisee. Do you believe those Pharisees? You believe those guys? Look at how self-righteous and pompous and deceptive they are. Oh, those Pharisees. And that's exactly what a Pharisee does. Stands in judgment, nitpicks to pieces. Make sure that they're tithing dill and mint and cumin, but they're kind of missing out on, you know, righteousness, justice, mercy, the big stuff, because they major in the minors and they want to correct everybody. Did that maybe cut a little close to the bone? Isn't that so true of so many of us that are in conservative, Bible-loving, don't want to call it a sect because we're not supposed to be sectarian, which, by the way, that was another mark of a Pharisee. They were sectarian. What would they do? They would evangelize. The Pharisees were evangelists. To their credit, they were at least out there. They'd travel all over the globe. To do what? Was it to bring somebody into grace? No. They were barring themselves from heaven and barring others. So they were anti-gospel. That's the first woe. But they would travel around and they would make people converts who ended up being twice the sons of hell that they are. Why would a convert be twice the son of hell? Well, have you seen the zeal of converts? They tend to outdo the person who converted them. And the Pharisees traveled around to get converts. But their problem was, so the commendable aspect is they were evangelists. The problem was they were sectarian. They didn't want to win people into a right relationship with God. They wanted to win them to our camp, be inside of our group. This is the club that you want to be a part of because we're right about everything. And we can't help but see the potential in our own hearts to be modern day Pharisees because we are the ones who most resemble. Now, I'm not saying that we're legalists, but I am saying that our propensities are probably more closely aligned to the Pharisees than any other denomination and any other evangelical group. It is those of us who are conservative who I believe have the exact same temptation as the Pharisees. So in working through Matthew chapter 23, I stopped and I started to write down, all right, what would a modern-day Pharisee look like? Jesus exposes them. They're stealing widows' houses. Then they're praying in the marketplace, looking all religious. They got their phylacteries going on. Their tassels are wide. And they want esteem and greetings and the best seat in the synagogue so that people will be in awe of how religious they are. It was a detestable portrait of ugliness. And so I thought, is it possible that some of us, I can be a modern day Pharisee? And so I took the time to write down all of the ways that I could think of. The list that you're about to hear is 22 ways that we can be modern day Pharisees. Would you like to know how long it took me to write it? Seconds. Why? Because I know my heart and I know the way that I can quickly go. And just as Jesus painted a portrait of the Pharisees that was ugly, we need to let him expose our ugliness. We need to let him reveal in us, hey, you got the same propensities because I don't want to be ugly. And neither does Jesus. Jesus doesn't want us to be ugly people. The Pharisees, they were hideous. Some of the words that would describe them, mean, cruel, arrogant, condescending, judgmental, self-righteous, manipulative, deceitful, hypocritical, narcissistic, greedy, selfish, pompous, treacherous, bigoted, untrustworthy, petty, boastful. How would you like to be stranded on a desert island with that guy? You would be, ugh, I don't want to be with that guy. Okay, what if that guy or that gal, who were all of these adjectives, what if that good looking, beautiful, handsome, the great physique, lovely form. Ooh, rich. Ooh, they're an influencer. They're super popular. Would you still want to be on an island with them? Or would you rather be on an island stranded alone with somebody who wasn't good looking, somebody who wasn't famous, somebody who didn't have a lot of money, but they were kind, compassionate, generous, gracious, humble, gentle, loving, selfless, altruistic, empathetic, virtuous, honest, trustworthy, humble, modest, and merciful? You want to be with that person. And yet, isn't it fascinating how the world trains us to want to be on the island with the beautiful person? But you wouldn't want to be on the island with a beautiful person externally who inwardly is downright ugly. And I think that's the point of Matthew 23. God doesn't want us to be ugly either. He wants us to be these good things. He wants us to be these better things. He wants us to have our insides just come pouring out of us so that people see what God is doing inside of us. In other words, God, as the Bible repeats over and over again, is interested in our hearts. And so we will do a little bit of a heart examination. 22 ways you might be a modern day Pharisee. And when we're done, welcome to the Krabby Club. This is Wretched Radio.
So you already believe in biblical creation, right? You're convinced that Genesis is true. But let me ask you this. Can you confidently explain why? Well, now you can, because coming up March 21st and 22nd, Dr. Jason Lyle, renowned astrophysicist and biblical apologist, is coming here to Fortis Institute to help you strengthen your foundation. Reserve your spot if you live in or near Alpharetta, Georgia at fortisinstitute.org/creation, because believing's great, right? But being equipped to explain why you believe what you believe is even better.
We cannot disengage from the battle, and there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
2 out of 3 ain't bad, if you don't mind me saying so. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, it was 115, right? Not Psalm 135.
Correct.
So I had 2 out of 3 correct.
That's right.
Close enough for most evangelicals, which sadly, actually, 0 out of 3 is satisfactory for enough evangelicals. But hey, I might have missed the address. At least I didn't promise if you give a tithe and you're not satisfied with the results, ka-ching, we'll give you your money back. You say, well, what kind of a silly preacher would say something like that? The answer, of course, is Robert Morris.
I don't want to exaggerate, but I'm sure thousands and thousands of people, and I'm sure it's multiplied that, have told me some way over the years through email, letters, whatever, this changed my life. When I started giving the first 10% to God.
Oh, this is so unbiblical.
He changed everything.
Okay.
And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to just challenge you. I've done this with our church. I've told our church on multiple occasions, I've said to them, if you'll try it for 1 year, if you are not fully satisfied at the end of that year, I'll give you your money back.
Okay, then. People took him up on that offer because there's a lawsuit filed against him. And they're trying to get it dismissed. Oh, these rascals. They're trying to get it dismissed because that would be a violation of the separation of church and state. You can't get involved in religious affairs. No. They can't, they shouldn't, but they sure can get involved in charlatan affairs where you're lying to people to bilk them out of money so you can live lavishly. We'll see if that case gets dismissed or not. I hope not. I hope not. I wish that those senatorial investigations into the prosperity preachers had gone further. I think it was Charles Grassley was one of them. I wish that he had pursued these guys to the utter end of the earth. Now, well, or until they ran out of private jet fuel, because they are charlatans, which is not all that different than the Pharisees, who were charlatans. They bilked people out of money. They were thieves on the inside. They were liars. They were hypocrites. They were deceivers. And they were religious so that they could profit from it. And Jesus denounced it and said it's ugly. But that probably isn't your potential Pharisaical issue. The heart of the Pharisee is one that is self-righteous, believes that they're right about everything. There's no shades of gray. It is all black and white. Everything is black and white. And if you are not as vocal in your denunciation of what I believe is wrong, then you are outside of the Pharisee camp. They were totally sectarian. They were in it for money, and they were filled with dead man's bones. You talk about a denunciation. You're like a whitewashed tomb inside a decaying corpse. You are not just a viper, which I think is an allusion to Genesis 3, but you are the offspring of vipers. Why did Jesus say that? Because the offspring of vipers, this is what they believe, that the snakes that were being born would often commit matricide. Doesn't have anything to do with what you sleep on. Matricide, eating its mother. That's what Jesus, that's what you are, Pharisees. Yikes, that's ugly. And I believe that if there is any group that has the ability to cultivate a Pharisaical heart, I fear it's ours. Not the prosperity stuff, not the legalistic, you got to do these things to get saved. That's another aspect of Pharisaism. But just the heart of ugliness, it's so easy for those of us who are Bible thumpers. We love theology. We love being right. We love studying this stuff. So did the Pharisees, and their hearts were ugly. For your consideration, I hold in my never before nicotine stained fingers 22 ways you or I might be a modern day Pharisee. To quote Vodi Bakum, if you can't say amen, you can say ouch. Number one, modern day Pharisees believe they're more pleasing to God because our theology's better. We got it all figured out. We're right about everything. Number two, modern day Pharisees like to argue to win arguments to gain someone to our sect. Let's get them out of those circles. Let's get them into our circle. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. They weren't winning people to the Lord. They were winning people to their group, to their clique, to their sect. Number three, modern day Pharisees will teach, but not disciple and invest. Modern day Pharisees, number four, have a critical spirit. We nitpick everything, don't we? We are fault finders. It is just a spiritual gift that just show me your Bible cover. I can tell you what your problem is. That's the heart of a modern day Pharisee. Ouch, anybody? Modern day Pharisees prefer criticizing rather than encouraging. They forget grace because we think our performance keeps us in God's grace. Modern day Pharisees prefer to talk about what is wrong and what we are against rather than what is right and what we are for. Ask yourself the question, are any of these coming close? And we should be willing to let these ding us because we have to agree. Jesus was right when he painted the portrait of the Pharisees. We should be repulsed by it. That means if we see any of those propensities in us, we should be repulsed by it because it's ugly. And Jesus wants us to have a more beautiful portrait. Number six, seven, eight, the modern day Pharisees, the fight, how we love it. Love to argue about, fight about this stuff. We love to have guns blazing, the smoke on the field of battle with corpses lying all around us. We love it if we're a modern day Pharisees. Modern day Pharisees think others are worse sinners than they are. Modern day Pharisees think all issues are black and white. Now, a lot of them are, not all of them. But to the modern day Pharisee, everything is cut and dry. Modern day Pharisees require everyone agrees with them as intensely as they hold their position. Otherwise, you're out of here. Modern day Pharisees are quick to separate over just about anything. Happy to part company with you because you don't agree with everything that I believe. Modern day Pharisees yell about right theology, but can hardly be heard singing praises on Sunday. Number 14. By the way, Jimmy, how are you doing in there? You've got a reason to be crabby. any of these dinging you?
I've completely failed the test.
Oh, man. Modern day Pharisees love to read the Bible to clobber people, not to love Jesus more. We judge externals like hair, clothes, tattoos. We surround ourselves with other modern day Pharisees. We don't like to be corrected, especially publicly. Modern day Pharisees, number 18, we are all about what we hate, not what we love. Modern day Pharisees quickly see others' sins, but not their own. And we don't need much evidence to set someone outside the camp. Number 21, modern day Pharisees critique others for their theology, but never recognize an individual's lifestyle of mercy, kindness, gentleness, humility. We just see that they're deficient in their theology. They don't understand this doctrine as correctly as we do. But we fail to see this is just a humble saint who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, I think, helpful for those of us who have these propensities. Don't overlook those things when you see fruit in somebody's life, because it is my experience, there are a lot of people who are dear saints who just don't concern themselves about some of the things that we do. They just don't care. No, you say, well, they should care. Okay, I'll affirm that. But they don't. But they love Jesus and they read their Bibles and they're faithful and they give and they serve and they do and they're humble and they're godly. Can't overlook that. Those are kingdom citizens. Modern day Pharisees know their strengths, but can't see their own weaknesses. You say, ouch, that might describe me a little bit. What do I do about this? Now that we're done studying the Pharisees, we stop looking at them. And instead, we turn our gaze to Jesus Christ. And what do we see? He was never any of those things. He was delightful in every single way. And because he's the one who shed his blood so that we can be reconciled to God, we should stare at him with unveiled face. We'll be transformed from one image of glory to another, and we will not look like an ugly Pharisee. We will look like a beautiful, fruit-bearing child of God. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.